Hello and welcome to Wise Women, The Vicar and the Witch. I'm Maggie Whitehouse and I'm the Vicar.
And I'm Susie Crockford and I'm the Witch. We are perceived, perhaps, as being on opposite ends of a spectrum, but we're friends and we see the common threads of our different experience of the sacred. So please join us as we discuss
life, the universe, and everything.
Hello, it's us again. Thanks for listening. So I'm determined to get to the bottom of this rest malarkey. I tried interviewing Maggie on the subject last time and somehow or other
we went off on the West Wing.
Yes, quite a detour there. So I know, I realise, obviously enough, that you know, rest is tremendously important. And I also realise that I am far from being alone in my incapacity to feel like I do it well. The Puritan work ethic is totally ingrained in me. And then there's another couple of things at play as well. The first is my kind of ridiculous enthusiasm for life. It's like, if I've got a spare 5 minutes, there are so many things that I want to be doing.
Yeah.
And so there's the you will be judged by your productivity aspect of the Puritan work ethic.
And that comes back to Christianity misused, as in by their fruits shall you know them. Yeah. And what that actually means is by how they shine, you know, and whether they're a healing presence or a good presence. But of course, the Protestant work ethic means, well, how much did you produce?
Yeah.
How many fruits did you produce?
What were they? Are you an apple or a pear? Yeah. Okay.
Other fruit are also relevant. Okay, so let's just discuss rest, because I don't think we necessarily realise what we do to counter it. For example, when you were making me a nice cup of tea, thank you. I met Susie's, it's so beautiful. It's so lovely to be here. We've had cake. I'm looking at the broomstick in the beautiful healing room and the lovely chest of drawers and the picture. Oh, God, I'm so happy to be here. Where was I?
It's so lush to have you here.
Yes.
Yeah, our mutual, well, not yours, I feel that you succeed, but our societal incapacity to be any good at rest.
I don't succeed that well, and I probably only succeed for two reasons, one of which was working at the World Service at the BBC, and the other of which was doing a course in which I could not pass the course unless I wrote a journal for 6 weeks after 20 minutes meditation every morning. And if you do anything for 6 weeks, the neural pathway in your brain is forged.
Okay.
So my brain now nags me if I don't meditate.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's what the ego is all about. It's a programming tool to repeat. It uses memory and repeats. That's basically all the ego is. It brings up the information from the past and projects fear into the future or anticipation into the future. But if you make it do something for 6 weeks, after that, as far as it's concerned, that's the norm.
Okay. I'm completely fascinated, though, by how on earth does working for the BBC
simple. I was the night editor for the Africa news section of the BBC World Service, which meant I worked 10-day shifts from 9 p.m. to 7 a.m.
Wow.
Including the night of 9/11.
Wow.
Where I was drafted off, and I think I've told that story once before, but anyway, that was a phenomenal night for what was achieved by the BBC, and I will never stop anybody criticising the BBC, but the World Service at a time like that, and the way the World Service responded to that crisis was pivotal in there not being retaliatory attacks.
Wow.
I think I've told that story, surely the 9/11 story.
I can't honestly say I remember it. You might
have done. Well, we'll tell it another day if necessary. Okay. But by the grace of God, I was one of the news editors on the World Service that night. Mm-hmm. But the point about the rest was that I couldn't get through that night. I found out what I would do on my time off. I had an hour's break at 2 a.m. Was walk the streets of London, which of course people thought was very stupid. But I have protective angels, so I'm not bothered about it. And anyway, I can kill a man in two moves. Actually, I probably can't anymore, but I still believe I can, so let's hold on to that. Yeah. Which is why I was able to feed the World Service on the night of 9/11, because I knew where all the cafes put out their waste foods,
wow,
which were all still in perfect packaging. and how the homeless in London fed themselves. And I knew that because, bring me back to the rest in a minute because I'm going on.
Okay.
I knew that because the husband of a friend, when he was training for ministry, he had to go and live on the streets of London for a week without any money. And he came home fatter. Because he for a start, he spent all day sitting outside Fortnum and Mason. So he got very nice food from the people who did give him anything. And in the evenings, he went round all the streets and looked at the black bags and worked out which evenings, which cafes threw out their on-the-sell-by-date food. And he would just gather up the bag and take it back to the place where he was staying with, in, you know, under a bridge and share it out with other people. So I knew it was a situation, so I looked for it. So on the night of 9/11, when the canteen was completely flummoxed because so many journalists were called in, and anyway, the canteen shuts between 1 a.m. and 6. And we fed them all. So it was feeding of the 5,000, really, out of bin liners from the streets of London. But the rest was, at the end of... two things. One was... I realised that walking the streets of London was too tiring.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to rest.
Yeah.
And the only place, and God forgive me, Muslim women, and I hope you don't mind, the only place I could rest was within the Muslim women's prayer room.
Right.
So I would wrap my head in a scarf and I would go lie down, set an alarm and sleep for an hour. So I just learned that that was pivotal. And also at the end of the 10 days, I was so exhausted I couldn't do anything. I got 4 days off, 10 days on, 4 days off. So the first two of those days literally were nothing but sleeping, eating, walking the dog, and maybe reading. Because I had no alternative. I could not go back to work.
Until you had restored.
I had restored some of that, because working Africa can be a bit of a flame point. We don't hear a lot of the news from Africa because we don't. So there's only so much space for the news. A lot of people complain about things not being on the news. And that's very valid now with 24-hour news. But back in my day, you had a pivot point of 3 minutes to film. And then a half-hour programme in the evening. So you had to try and stuff as much in. And Africa really never got on the list. Yeah. Whereas on the World Service, you were really completely involved in what was going on in a vast country. But that was when I first realised the vital aspect of rest. And then when I learned about the tithing system, the fact that they used to rest the land. And, of course, we don't often have land lying fallow now. And I just started to think about what the Sabbath was for. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for humanity, not humanity for the Sabbath. So it's not about my childhood thing of being bored to death on Sunday because you went to church, had Sunday lunch, and then had to do your homework. nothing exciting ever happened.
Yeah.
But I sort of realised, well, okay, the idea is it's all benefit to us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's have a look at that. And do I actually take any of this benefit? And realising that I pretty much didn't. And what I don't manage this the rest of the week, but you were talking last time about eating on the go and that kind of thing, or the fact that we, you know, would use plastic spoons and things like that and get takeaways and kind of thing.
Out of society.
Yeah. And one of the things in one of the many, many holistic books I've got was about when you eat, just eat. Don't stuff your mouth while you're doing something else. And I'm very prone to stuffing my mouth while doing something else. I'm a journalist. I used to have to be typing up stories or dictating stories over the phone to the Daily Telegraph with a bun in my other hand.
Yeah.
You know, because I would have to get back into the courtroom for the next court report, for the next case.
Which massively brings me round to the way we do something is the way we do everything.
Yes.
And if we could remember that our bodies are the bodies of the land, and what we do to ourselves, we're doing to our earth, and what we're doing to our earth, we're doing to ourselves.
Speak more slowly, because this is profound.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm not criticising you. I'm just saying, as you say that, I'm thinking, say that again, slowly, so it goes in, would you?
So, the way we do something is the way we do everything. I really do believe that.
Yes.
And our body, as any individual person, and the body of the earth, is one and the same being.
Yes.
And the way we treat our bodies is the way we treat the earth. Yes. And vice versa.
Yes.
And so when we are doing things like, you know, stuffing your mouth while you're reading a book, while you're listening to a podcast, while you're actually really supposed to be at work, while you're far too tired to be doing any of those things, while you're also trying to look after a child or whatever it is,
mm.
is every single resource imaginable in that person is completely and utterly overstretched. And the food is not being respected. Mm. The body is not being respected. The time is not being respected. And if we slowed down, I mean, here's the one who can't seemingly learn how to rest, but what I have learned is that if we slow down just a tiny bit and take the time to go, thank you, bun, for your presence in my life, I, you know, trust that I'm doing neither the earth nor any of its beings nor myself any harm by eating this bun. So really, really to go into it, I want my bun to be organic, so there's no pesticides on the ground and in any and of in the hands poo. Of any of the growers, and yeah. in my belly and in my poo, exactly, yeah. which is then recycled around in the water where we ludicrously yeah. put our poo for the next generation to drink or whatever. And that in choosing to take my time to eat that bun, I am offering gratitude to the people who made it, the people who grew it, the person who buttered it, the, you know,
yeah.
probably me, to be fair. But,
the person who milked the cow to get the butter.
Yeah, and on yeah. and on and on it goes. And yeah. actually, I don't do cow dairy because it's
yeah. well, okay,
so hard yes. to find
decent, yeah.
well, somewhere where the cow isn't being treated really quite appallingly, yes. frankly.
Yeah.
Although there are actually dairies locally where the cows are treated beautifully and their calves are left with them. But let's not once
That's
again
another
get
conversation.
Derailed.
Yeah.
But my point is that that's not such a big step. Just to sit your ass down and eat slowly, remembering that everything we eat, everything we consume in that way is a gift from this earth, of this earth. And I often think when that thing in is it only in a Catholic Mass or is it in all Masses? I don't know. Take this, it is my body.
Yes, it's in all Masses.
Yeah, everything we put in our mouths is the body of the earth.
Yes.
Every damn thing.
And this creation is the Christ.
Mm.
The Christ is the presence of God in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So this planet is Christ.
Right.
Every being in it is Christ, part of the Christ. So when David and I...
Terribly childish bit of me that wants to go, no, actually, Maggie is the goddess.
Yes! But you see, you're then immediately, as we do, equating Christ with Jesus the man.
Yeah.
Christ is the concept of creation. Christ is the great mother.
Right.
You know, it's all the terminology of how we put it. But yes, yeah. yes, absolutely. I hear every word you say. And I also must do better.
Mm. So come on then, back to rest. So we've ascertained... Not getting up too early is a good plan. Although, you know, here beginneth my problem, basically. If I have a lie-in, I will absolutely, inevitably end up staying up too late that night.
Interesting.
And then I'll be tired the next day.
Interesting. Gosh, I don't have that one.
Right, I do. Inevitably. If I lounge about in bed after about, well, I can stay in bed till something like 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Then I'll be heading back towards bed sometime between yes. 10 and 11. But if I stay at any time after that, I can somehow or other manage to stay up way into the even past midnights, the 1 o'clock's kind of thing, because I've had loads of sleep. But then, of course, I have to get up the next day.
And you haven't.
7:30 as usual. And then I haven't had enough sleep. And that yeah. takes me ages to catch up on. And it just, having a lie-in seems to be a really bad idea for me.
Or there isn't the discipline to go to bed early the night after the lie-in.
It's not just about the discipline. It's about the lying there not being able to go to sleep.
Oh, fair enough. Okay. Yeah. Well, this is why you have to interview people. You have to ask them questions to get clear on that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, then, one of the things I always say to people about this is you need to start off with a list of the re's, the renewals,
Ooh,
the remembrances, and the rest,
mm-hmm.
which is what... What does rest mean to you? Because for a lot of us, it was boredom as children.
Mm.
Nowadays, children don't have the time to be bored. They're on their computer
yeah.
games or whatever. And actually, you have to learn to be bored, you know, to know how to get through that boundary.
Mm-hmm.
I was bored a couple of weeks ago. It was the first time I've been bored for years, and it was so interesting.
So is rest intrinsically boring? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think so. We are... primed to believe it is. And we don't like boredom. So we think if I just lie on the sofa and rest, I'm going to be bored.
Okay.
Well, that's how I was programmed anyway. When I was a child, I was bored if I wasn't doing anything.
Well, no, this is revelatory to me. Yeah. Maybe this is why I don't do it. Because my subtext is that to just lie there and rest would be terribly dull. And so why don't I...
Why don't I entertain myself?
Well, or more likely, why don't I go and dig a garden or...
Well, so the question about renewal and rejuvenation, I think, is really important, because I actually find our conversations to be the equivalent of deep rest. I look forward to talking to you. I feel strengthened by talking to you. I learn through talking to you. I manage to get out a load of rubbish while talking to you sometimes. So for me, this is a strengthening process. So I think it's really helpful to look at the rest thing as, what do you do that rejuvenates you, rebuilds you, remembers you, puts you back together again? And if digging in the garden does that, that's fine.
Well, that, you see, this is the crux of it. This is such a good conversation from my perspective, and I hope it's useful for you, dear listener, just because, to me, this is the absolute crux of it. If I have a day off, that day of rest, the things that to me, would be totally restful and, not restful, but rejuvenating, the things that I just think are, ooh, that's a lovely thing to do, I've realised are completely interwoven with the things I want as an end result.
Yes.
And so I still can't really answer the question, do I love gardening? Because I know how much I love a beautiful garden is so enmeshed into my enjoyment of gardening.
Yes.
That I don't know if I can answer it truthfully.
No, I think that's the case for 99.999% of us. We don't know anymore because you're much more in touch with the land than I am, but even you don't know.
Yeah.
So that's how wired we have become into this activity role.
I know I love my garden and I know I love spending time there and I love having my fingers in the earth and I love tending what's there. Mm.
I think we've also got addictions to doing things. Which is sort of following on from what you're saying. Mm. I have to do this because I have to do this. A compulsion to do it sometimes. Mm. And I've been finding this with... I'm learning Italian on Duolingo, which I'm very fond of. But I was doing what I always do, which was doing too much.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping going. They give you a daily goal, which doesn't seem like enough.
Okay.
So you do two, and then you do another one, and then you do another one, and then you're fed up with it, and you don't do it for 4 days. So I'm actually learning to do the daily amount and no more. And it's a huge discipline. So I think that's my case, and it might be relevant for you and for you, dear listener, too. This idea of I've started, so I've got to finish. Mm. Whereas if I do 10 minutes work in the garden every day,
you have such a beautiful garden, I discovered that 1 year. It doesn't take much as long as you do it every day.
How you do everything is how you do everything. Do it 10 minutes at a time, 10 minutes of this, 10 minutes of that.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of work in what we call our upper room in the Cavalier group when I do meditation. And every now and then my beautiful guardian just sort of goes, just sit. Go and sit under the apple tree. Stop doing this work. We can handle it today. There's no mess up there. We can do it. Just bloody sit, woman.
I mean, that is, I guess, here's my answer, actually, isn't it? Is that is the one thing that does make me feel utterly, utterly rest, restored, nourished, deeply, deeply filled my cup.
Mm.
Is if I can take the time to simply go and sit under a tree.
Yeah.
And maybe, I mean, there's you saying the wisdom of 10 minutes. Maybe I've got the story about rest all wrong, because I couldn't and wouldn't want to sit under a tree all day long.
No.
But I get so much from going to sit under a tree.
For 10 minutes.
Well, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 40 minutes maybe.
Yeah.
But I probably never sit there for an hour, unless it's super sunny and, heaven. But But perhaps in my kind of, I don't know, pursuit of this kind of nirvana, if I had a rest, I'm looking for something that's actually bigger than it needs to be.
Yeah, I think so, little and often.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did that yesterday. I've been meaning to do it for ages and ages, but having two bouncy young dogs, taking them out for a long walk, I haven't been to go and just sit on the moor. But after Sappho and her accident, which we can talk about another time, not today, because we've got lots of stuff there, I couldn't take them out for a couple of days because she needed rest. And I didn't want to just take Missy on. And there were reasons why not. So I went and sat in my favourite place on the moor, which I haven't sat on for several days. Well, several months, actually, to be honest. And it was bliss. And I'm thinking, why don't I do this all the time? Why don't I do this every week? Why? And I'm trying to make the commitment of doing that. And I'm lying on a stone in the middle of the river with my feet on another stone because there's a crossing across this part of the river. And I'm just lying there in the sunshine. And I was probably there for an hour, which I needed at the time. And I was suddenly aware that even just that small time, I was being watched. And there were spirits there. And they said, you know, it was sort of, okay, very gently. And I was just saying, I want to become sacred to you.
You already are.
Yes. But, you know, that was basically, I said, well, we're here, aren't we? Yeah. You know, but the intention I always, when I go out, is not to find the outside sacred, but so that it can help me become sacred or acknowledge my sacred aspects. And more I'm learning, and my bishop keeps teaching me this, about the fact that the divas and the angels don't chat. They'll just put a movement in your mind, an essence, something like that.
Yes, something for you to understand.
Yes.
I've just had one plopped into mine, which is, firstly, the reason it's coming up so strongly for us, this talk of rest, is, of course, because it's about to be the summer solstice.
Yes.
And that is that great moment of planetary rest where... oh, everything stops and goes kind of for a minute, for 3 days, while the sun seems to sit still.
And this is going to go out around the time of the solstice.
Just before the solstice,
yes.
Yeah. But they're also, yeah, of course, when you look at the planet, when you look at even the weavings of the other beings in this world in a day, of course it doesn't need to be a whole day. And it would be far more useful if it was moments in every day.
Yeah.
I just feel as if I had this kind of totally revelatory moment.
Yeah, you don't need the Sabbath if you will always take a Sabbath, because how you do everything is how you do.
Yeah, how you do something is how you do everything, yeah.
Yeah. So if you take 10 minutes rest every now and then, you're giving yourself a Sabbath.
Yeah. Duh. Thanks, Maggie.
You're very welcome. And for some of us, it needs to be sitting outside with a beer. Some of us, it needs to be lying on your back staring at the sky. Some of us, it might need to be watching Battlestar Galactica and going, yay, it's a programme that's got some mysticism in it.
I fear that watching telly is not a rest.
No,
especially
it's not
if you're sitting on the edges of your seat.
No, that was merely a joke, really.
Right.
But sometimes, because you can widen rest, this reason for watching Say Yes to the Dress is to access inner pain that comes out. Observations of kindness. One of the things that was... So that is restful.
Is it?
Well, it's release. Well, there's a good question. Is release restful?
Yeah, I think it probably is, actually, yes.
Yeah.
But I still... I think the in a way, release is the consequence of process, isn't it?
Yeah.
And process isn't rest.
No, that's true. No. Well, this is why it's lovely to talk, because I'll say something and they're, well, I'm not quite sure about that. No, what do you think?
Yeah. So, yeah, I'd probably go for, well, I don't know, it could be, couldn't it? Because you could do process and then you could have a rest because you damn well deserved it. And the release would be a beautiful place in which to begin rest.
Yes, I know that tears at the moment are releasing stress from my body.
Mm.
Which is restful.
Yes.
A restful process. Afterwards. Though at the time,
consequences.
Afterwards, yes.
Yeah, it's restful.
Yeah.
Well, that feels like... can we see if we can find a way to encapsulate this? Because I just know that once you've got a kind of little saying...
It does help, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm so inculcated to want a little saying to be able to remember things, because I was very much raised with there was a little aphorism for absolutely everything in the whole world. But I do think they're super useful. Mm. Can we come up with something that's around the idea that to repeatedly just check in on yourself and spend 10 minutes talking to a tree, listening to a bird?
I would suggest rest to remember.
Rest to remember instead of remember to rest.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because to remember is to put your members back together again.
Indeed.
And sometimes you put them back in a different order, which is even better.
Indeed.
Yeah, so rest to remember.
Rest to remember.
Because usually it's remember to rest. Oh, I can't remember to rest. Oh,
yeah. Well, remember to rest hasn't worked all this time, has it?
So. No, it hasn't.
So maybe rest to remember would.
Mm. Okay, well, we'll give that a go. But if anybody comes up with anything better...
Yes, please let us know.
Yes. And if we come up with anything better, we will let you know as well.
Ooh. How are we doing for time?
Oh, we're at 25 minutes. So.
Oh, we're doing really well. Yeah. Oh, I'm a little Miss Timekeeper at the moment, aren't
you?
I?
Are, aren't you?
I used to just be all away with the chat and forget. So, last time, did we actually ever get to finish the mascara story?
I don't know. Well, I bought the mascara.
Excellent. Yes. Dear people, you can even get mascara. So funny. I don't know. I mean, maybe the whole mascara thing came up from this originally, but I'm not sure I've ever owned up to this, that actually it was mascara that was the one thing that I was basically going, oh, please, universe, please, could I just have this one plastic thing? Because I don't really want to give up mascara. Yeah. I've worn mascara probably pretty nearly every day of my life since I was about 14.
Mm.
I don't do much else by way of makeup.
No.
But I do love mascara.
Yes, it's funny, isn't it? Yeah. I do. My mother was always saying, you never wear lipstick, you should wear lipstick. Because in her generation, everybody wore lipstick and lipstick was the thing.
Yeah.
But I don't have particularly beautifully shaped lips. I have wonderful working lips, but they don't show terribly well with lipstick. So I never bothered, really.
No, same. I've never liked lipstick. No. It's funny, isn't it? It's... That was you, one in her generation. You weren't properly dressed if you didn't have your lipstick.
No. Good Lord, when I was growing up, you wore gloves and a hat still.
Whoa. Wow.
My first evening gown, I wore gloves. Evening gown and gloves.
Well, okay. I've only ever worn gloves as a, like, retro thing.
Well, I am rather retro.
No, I never think of you as being...
No, I meant I'm older than you, so...
Yeah, I know that. But I never think of you as being particularly older than me. I mean, you're not that much older than me, but there's obviously a lot changed in a few years,
yes.
I guess.
Yes. Yeah. I think so.
Between our bringings ups.
Yeah. And I also think one of the reasons why we don't do these things like rest or whatever is we forget two things. We forget that we are unique,
mm-hmm.
and we forget that we are significant. What we do matters.
Mm.
And I'm saying this again and again more nowadays. I don't mind that people don't have a religion, but I do mind that they don't have a contact with the spirit that helps them know that they are significant.
Yes.
Because that is the true significance. You are a vital thread in this pattern. And so many people say, well, there's no point in my recycling. There's no point in my... I'm just one person.
Oh, it made me so cross.
But actually, you are a pivot point in creation.
Yes.
And if you don't know that, then you'll stop being the pivot point in creation and just go, blah, and not remember.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And some form of faith or spirituality is the only... sane way I know of to get significance.
To feel it, to know it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, last night on the Kabbalah group, as I've been working with Anger, and we still haven't got around to that because I'm avoiding it. well, not in my everyday life. I was aware, we were talking about the Beatitudes and the spiritual significance of it and how weird it is that Orthodox and evangelical Christians want the Ten Commandments up at courthouses and in churches and things like that. They're Old Testament. If you're a Christian, you've got to go for the Beatitudes because they are the spirit within the commandments. And they're all about humility, peacemaking, and understanding that when you step out of the tribe, you will be reviled.
Mm-hmm.
But that if you follow these, you are following the direct path of transformation. And how beautiful it is. And I was giving an example of how people will not understand you. And I actually was a complete bitch about my ex-husband.
Ooh, that makes a change.
I didn't name him, mm-hmm. but I have never done that in a spiritual group because I thought it was would be very bad behaviour, mm-hmm. especially if you're leading the spiritual group. And last night, I just opened my mouth and let a whole load of shit out. And do you know the most wonderful, afterwards I was going, oh God, I'm sorry. And there was just this great love that came around me and said, it's okay, 99% of the time you're pretty good. They're going to forgive you and it needed to come out.
Mm.
And I was just made whole by that.
Mm.
It was okay, maybe that wasn't ideal, but maybe it was. Maybe it was what was needed to be said. You never have retaliated.
Mm.
And then the phrase that came into my head from spirit was revenge is a dish best eaten cold.
Best served cold.
Yes. And they said, well, just don't do it again, but it's okay. And we love you. And we understand why. And you're really doing well with accessing this deep emotion in you. And all these reasons that you've suddenly realised that you never experienced the anger you should have done as a child. So sometimes it's going to come out and blurt. And do you know what you've done, Maggie? You've created a completely safe space
in which to blurt.
In which you, who was the teacher, blurted and they heard you. Whether they rejected it or, you know, what I was saying or not, it's completely up to them. But they were, you know, they were kind.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, when the great thing about having a completely safe space was presumably it's a completely safe space for all of them as
yeah.
well.
Oh, yes.
And so, therefore, in you doing that, you are modelling,
yeah.
I am going to let some of my anger out and nobody is going to feel lashed by it.
Yes.
And that if there are other women in that group, maybe that's really important because, you know, culturally we are
yeah.
trained that it's not okay. Yeah. It's not okay to be angry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that literally the first time I got angry, it was in my 20s, for heaven's sake. In my 20s.
Yes.
And I, at first, the kind of first rush of it was really exhilarating.
Yes.
And I banged this saucepan on the floor and shouted. And then afterwards was really like, oh my God, what just happened?
Yes.
Oh, kind of really flustered and all the rest of it. And then I realised, whoa, I was angry. And then double, triple woe. Bloody hell, that's never happened to me before. That's yeah. mental.
Yeah.
Because I've seen plenty of anger.
Yeah.
But I've never let myself feel it.
Yes. Yes.
Crazy. And, you know, I know that in the greater scheme of things, 20 is quite young, actually. There are plenty of women who've just simply never let themselves get angry.
No. Because it wasn't safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and also just not allowable.
Yes.
You are not allowed to be angry.
Well, no, you'd be an outcast if you were angry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was at school with Toya Wilcox, who became singer and TV presenter. She was in a lower class than me. She was a very angry child. And she'd own up to that. She's not saying, I'm not saying anything otherwise.
Turn, yeah.
And I do remember when I was in the sixth form and she was inside and she was supposed to go out to break. And I said, Toya, go out to break. She said, fuck off and kick me on the shins. I met her a few times when I was in TV and I told her that story and she said, oh yeah, sounds like me, sorry about that. And we had a really good laugh about it, so it was absolutely fine. But there was part of me that was really afraid of a girl like that.
Mm.
But, you know, she went and channeled that anger into creativity.
Yeah, totally.
So, way to go, Toya. You know, she was obviously some part of her astrology or her lifestyle allowed her this anger. And she was, I think she was expelled. I don't know. She was certainly asked to leave, whether that, mm-hmm. any kind of school they went to, you were asked politely to move yourself out. Not expelled, obviously.
Some other establishment might be more suitable for your
something like
child.
That along those lines, yeah. Because it was totally unacceptable at my school that any girl would be angry.
Were there boys at your school?
No.
No, okay. I was just wondering if a boy had kicked you in the shins and told you to fuck off, would he also have been expelled?
Doubt it.
Yeah. It's pants, isn't it?
Oh, no, she wasn't. I didn't report that to anybody. She didn't get expelled for that.
Right.
Yeah. It was consistent stuff like sitting at one end of the school photograph, which was a moving camera, sticking her tongue out and then running around the back, sitting the other end and going... Which was actually the kind of thing I'd like to have done.
Yeah, you can.
I did
admire the.
I did finally rebel on my last day ever at school.
Yeah.
Because I was always a good girl, And we weren't allowed to knock on the staffroom door because it disturbed them. We had to wait outside until somebody came out and they would take a message in for the teacher we wanted to talk to.
Oh, God.
I know. So on the very last day, I got the school skeleton from the biology lab and sat it down outside the staffroom with a notice round its neck saying, "We're not allowed to knock." And the irony of that was that the deputy head actually called me to ask me to take the skeleton away because I was somebody she could rely on and trust. And obviously it would never have been me that did it. And my scorpion moon was so chuffed about it.
Yes,
that
was hilarious. Unless she secretly knew it was you.
Oh, no, she didn't.
No?
No, not Miss Gaynor. No.
That's hilarious.
No. So, I think we're on 35 minutes, but I'm just going to reiterate my understanding about anger is that anger as a force is incredibly useful.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got to be holy anger, which is the anger that wants the situation to change, but means no harm to another.
Yeah.
Because we often talk about righteous anger, and that quite often demands retribution and an eye for an eye.
Does it? Can we talk about that next time?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And that'll come back to the West Wing as well, because the whole thing about... Sorry about that.
Until then, I think by the time this reaches your ears, damn nearly the solstice, I invite you to like the sun and all the beautiful humming honeybees and the flowers and the birds and everyone. There's always this amazing around about midday at this time of year, this silence that drops in the middle of the day, where everything's just rest. And you, dear human, I invite you to rest too. I'll be doing my damnedest. What was it? Rest to remember.
Yes.
Let's see if we can all do it. And if it happens that you need to take that time to also eat your lunch, sit down. Have a plate and a knife and a fork. Please don't do it on the run. It's not good for you and it's not good for your planet.
And I would also add that if you can go for an evening walk just before sunset or a morning walk at dawn, at this time of the year, it is celestially beautiful.
It's stunning, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dear old June, thanks.
Thanks, June. Thanks, Earth. Yeah. Thanks, Great Mother. Thanks, whatever started it all. Thank you.
Thanks for listening.